Right.
Let's quickly review. So what we're saying is a continuation from yesterday, this tricking, this arama. So really we're saying is that the problem is only tircha, which means tircha is not an objective maisa. So the tircha is that it's a break in the kavod of the yom. And that's why it says ha'adifa, that if you wouldn't do tircha, if you wouldn't allow the guy to do tircha, so then basically you wouldn't shach the animal, and then there wouldn't be some chazayon, the whole yom would be lacking. So what he's saying is that in terms of the kavod of the yom, the better thing is to let him do the tircha and to do this action, which is letzorach hayom. Now, even though technically, like the meat you're going to use after on chol, but the reason why you're doing it, the motivating factor in the action, is really the kavod hayom, because it's enabling you to be able to eat them, to have simcha, to shach the animal. So therefore, the shachting is really, it's not a bizayon of the yom. The problem with tircha is a bizayon of the yom. This isn't a bizayon of the yom. It's in service of the yom. But Rav Ada held that since the action of salting a ton of meat, a whole animal, has a character as being a long-term action, it has a nature. It's an action for later. So therefore he held that he had to incorporate the heter, which is the heter of because of Tzorach Hayom, into the action itself. And the way he did that is through this Harama deal. He says, I'm doing this for the Yom. And we have to explain this, but he held is that by doing so, he took an action whose character is a long-term action. Right? So you already have one piece, and what are you doing? More and more and more and more. That's now it's a long-term action. So by saying is I'm doing it for today, so that you're making it into a tzorach hayom. So therefore the heter, which is really one heter of because it's ultimately because of the yom, is being incorporated into the action and thereby removing its character as being a long-term action. The question is that who are you fooling? Bottom line, you're saying is I'm doing this for today, but you know in 2 minutes you're going to say I'm not doing that one for today because I don't like that piece and I'm doing this one for today. So it's for all practical purposes, the first one isn't really doing it so high. So what are you doing? You're just saying, making a statement. And like Jonah said, if you want to do that, if you want to just say because you're making a statement, then explain the thing. And make a statement that I'm doing this thing for tomorrow. But the reason why I'm doing it is because otherwise I wouldn't be able to shecht my animal and the whole thing, and it's really for kavodio. If you can go with statements, but it's just a statement, that's a better statement. So it must be, it's not just a statement, you're saying it's tzorach hayom. But what value does saying that have if you're not really legit? It's not legit. It's really, you know very well in a minute or two, you know, that you can change your mind. And if the first one you think, no, I mean, how many could you do like that? So that's basically our problem. And to make it clear, it's like, you can't say that because I say it's Letzorach Hayom that I'm really doing Letzorach Hayom, because otherwise then you would be able to do that by the cooking case. Right? Say you're cooking on, say I'm cooking for guests. You know, and then change your mind afterwards. But clearly that doesn't work, just to say I'm doing that. So just saying it doesn't make it true. So perhaps the answer is like this. It's basically what we're saying, but just to define it. That the idea is that really you're doing this, the matir is because of the yom. That you're doing it for the yom. The reason why you're doing all these meats is because the yom needs it. But not like the yom needs all these salted meats, but the yom needs the animal, and the only way to do the animal is if the only way the guy is going to do the animal is if he salts all these meats. So, but the only thing is that the action is an action. The action of salting a lot of meat is an action of for tomorrow. So what he held is, or Rada held, is that it's mutter if you do it in the tzura of a malach aliyatov, the form. In other words, the action that Rav Ada is doing is an action of tzorach hayom. He's saying, I want this piece for today, and he's assaulting it. And then he's going to the next piece. In the form of the action, I want this piece for today, and then he's assaulting it. In other words, in truth, the reality of it is he knows he's not doing it for today. This first piece isn't really for today. But the tzura samaisa, the form of the thing, is the form of a person who wants a piece of meat for today, and he's holding it. And then he goes to the next piece, and he says, I want a piece for today, and he's holding it. So again, in truth, it's not really what's happening. But in truth, what's really happening in truth is that it's before the Yom for a different reason. Because because otherwise he's only shechting the animal because he needs it for the Yom, and therefore the whole thing is a Tzarei Yom. But the form of the action, is a form which is a Tzarei, which is in general a Tzarei of tomorrow. So through the action of saying, I want this piece for today, and salting it, so he held is that's the matir. The matir of the tzorach, the matir of what allows you to do it, and not to be a bizayon ayom, is that the way he does the action is a tzurah of a malach aliyom tov. And the way he does that is through saying, this is for today, and he does it. This is for today, and then he does it. Because that's what's lacking, is like the form of the thing is like a form of an action for chol. Now, even though in truth, if someone were watching him and whatever, if you take piece together, there's like 10 separate actions. That's the point. There's separate actions, and each action has a form of being a tzorchei yom. Now, again, in his mind, what's really going on in his mind is, no, it's really for chol. But what's really going on in his mind is that I'm only shechting it because of yantif. Because otherwise, I would have never shechted it. So internally, in his head, he's really doing it. It really is a tzorchei yom. Because that's why he's shechting it. But the form of the action itself that he's doing is an action of you're done with the avir piece from a yantif, and now I'm just salting chol pieces. So the form of the action is basically doing work for chol. So, but through, since in his action he says, nah, I want this thing for today, and he's going to say, I'm doing this for today, and he salts it. So therefore, in form, it's a form. The form of the action, the external of the observable of appearance of the action is an action. I'm doing this for today. So therefore, in Kavod HaYom, what's necessary is two things. First of all, that internally he's doing it for the Yom, which is true. And externally, the form of the action is an action of the Yom. And it is, through the fact that he says, oh, this is the piece I want, and this is the piece that I want. Now, who are you fooling? No one. Internally, he doesn't have to fool anyone, because internally it really is for the Yom, for a different reason. But the action, he has to incorporate the Tzarei Yom in the action itself. So just to make an announcement, just to make an announcement to give a whole shiur and then do the action, it won't be related to the action. A shiur has nothing to do with your action. But saying is, I want this piece for today and then doing it, so the statement, I want this for today and then doing it, is related to the action which you're doing. So in form, this is the way a guy does an action of Tzachayam. He says, wow, look at that piece, I'm in the mood for that piece now, and he salts it. So the form of the action is exactly the form of an action of a guy who does an action for Tzachayam. Now then the next one is another action, and he does that form, and then there's another action, he does that one. And he'll say, yeah, but are they all really Litzarachayom? The answer is yes, they are really all Litzarachayom, because he's only shechting the animal because of Litzarachayom, because otherwise he would never be able to shecht it. But the physical form of the thing, if he doesn't say this thing, then he's doing it in reality in his mind as Litzarachayom, but the form of the thing is for Litzarach Machar. Because he just shechted, he just salted one piece. Now he's salting another. What's he doing? So in order to make to avoid the bizayon ayom, Rabbi held that it wasn't enough just to internally overcome the problem of the bizayon ayom. It must also be in the form of the action itself. And the next point as well is that the main point of my svara here. I mean, there are different facets to it, but what makes the thing work is that Rashi is learning, I'm learning in Rashi, as I think Rabbi Akiva Eiger is, that the tircha is not a real isser. It's not a technical isser. It's not like a maisa isser. If it's a maisa isser, then how do you say it's a maisa of doing it after I'm assaulting it, and that's defined as l'tzarach yantif. It's not l'tzarach yantif, it's I'm assaulting this for all. What I'm saying is the idea, the measure of the thing is in terms of the cover of the yom and the gavra, why is he doing it? So why is he salting? He's salting it because of the yom. Because in order to have someone's yantav, he has to shech the animal. He has to shech the animal. He has to salt the tzalaf. So therefore, it's not a bizayon of the yom. It's like he's relegating his salting activities for his long-term preservatory activities for yantav. He's doing it on yantav because he needs to shech the animal on yantav. So it's a kavod yom. So tircha is not a tzuras eser. It's just a gavra's relationship to the yom. So therefore, if you could show me that that's what it says, a ha'adifa. That's what Rashi says. This is better. In terms of Kavod HaYom, the other option, one option is to not do tircha and to not have someone's yantav. The other option is to be doing the salting and to have someone's yantav. So what's better for the yom? So you're saying the better for the yom is to have someone's yantav and do a little bit of tircha. It's a little bit whatever, but that's better in terms of the yom. And that's why I think that's what he's saying. It's not a technical listen. That's Rabbi Yair's kasha. Is that it sounds from Rashi that it's not, there's no shlaka shom isra, rak tircha. So what do you mean, like shom isra, there's no isra, rak tircha? Isn't tircha an isra? No, it's not an isra. Not in the standard sense. Not a technical tzuras isra. It's just the lack of the yom. It's a good kasha, though, because he has problems from Rashi. And I'm not in the sugya now, but when I learned this like a few months ago, I looked into the sugya of Ibud. And Rashi also seems to learn that there is an Esther Rabbanon on salted foods. I mean, it's a good kasha. Yair's kasha is from the sugya there. It's not so easy to answer that kasha. I'm not really going into it because I'm not in the sugya of Ibud Bochum. But that's this Rashi, that's what he's saying. How do you resolve it with other things? I don't know. That's a different kind of question. It's a good one, though. But it's just, it seems like it's an evil question. You know, like, I think I'm kind of going with where Rabbi Yehuda is learning Rashi here. I'm learning Rashi the same way as Rabbi Yehuda is learning Rashi. You know what I mean? And I'm assuming the answer has to come from learning that other sugya. But, you know, maybe there's some other way. But I'm just, you know, yeah. But so Jonah's mentioning a point. Is that if you would give a shir before you start salting the stuff and start explaining to people, this is why I'm doing it because of the whole whatever, you know, because of Sarcha Yom, and the reason why I'm shechting is because otherwise it wouldn't have any meat. I mean, that's nice. It would be a nice shir and you're explaining it to anybody, but it's not part of the form of the action. It's extraneous. It doesn't register on the action itself. But if you want to matir the action, it has to be on effect. The form of the action has to be an action with Sarcha Yom. Now, what does it look like if a guy does an action with Sarcha Yom? He says, oh, that piece is great, and he salts it. So saying that piece is great is like the verbal prelude to an action of salting a piece of meat. And therefore it registers as being part of the form of the way in which you're salting it. You're salting it the way someone salts it today. But giving a class about why you're allowed to do it and then salting it doesn't register as part of the form of your action. It's just a prerequisite. Now it's true, an observer may not be confused, but halachically, so that we're not just going to look at the observer, the way we're looking at the observable form of the action. You know, I mean, we're not just saying it's put an observer there and see if he likes it, see what he thinks. We're saying is the action qua the observer, from the standpoint of the observer. So, but it has to be something which registers as a part of the action. That there is a disconnect between the way in which it really is Litzarach Hayom and the form of the Litzarach Hayom. Because the way it really is Litzarach Hayom in your head is because the reason why I'm shechting the animal is because of the yom, and that's the cause of me salting these pieces of meat. But that's like too removed to be a part of a form of an action. Like that can't make its way into the form of an action. That's like motivation and background. But you want to somehow incorporate the Tzarach Hayom into the form of the action, so simply going through the motions of saying this is for today could do that. But it's not dishonest, because it really is Tzarach Hayom. It's just the way in which the Tzarach Hayom can't be like expressed in the action itself. So you're using a different method, but it's really accomplishing. The words you're using aren't really true, but what you're saying through those words is this is an action of the Litzarach Hayom. I mean, the exact way in which you're saying it is not true, but the what you're accomplishing in saying it is this is Litzarach Hayom, and that is true. That is true. It would be like, let's say, for instance, I think this is an example. Like, let's say, for instance, someone stole your money. Okay? He flat out stole your money. Okay, he walks up to you and takes your money away from you. Now you go to a court and or something like that. It's like somehow in a court, if you're gonna say he stole it from me, it's not gonna hold up in a court. But if you say, oh yeah, he borrowed it from me, you know, then somehow that would work out. Okay, the court would give it back to you because I don't know, whatever, make up a case, you know? So then I'd say, well, you saying he borrowed it from me, I'd say that's not lying, because it's really your money. The saying he borrowed it from me means it's my money, and it is your money. So the particular way in which you are saying it is not really is not deceitful. It kind of reminds me of like Esav and Yaakov, you know? Like Esav and Yaakov saying it's my bechor. It really was his bechor. He bought it. Now, the way in which he's saying it, I'm Esav and all that, is essentially what he's saying is, I'm the guy who got to the Bechor. I mean, the way, it's true the words that he's using are, I'm Yaakov, you know, that's the only way he could get Yitzchak to give it to him. But he's essentially, he's claiming his Bechor, and it really is his Bechor. So he's, in truth, he's not accomplishing like a falsehood, because he's taking the thing which is really his. It's just that the only method to accomplish it is through, so to speak, faulty methods. But they're really the methods to say the true things. You're not going to accomplish what's really true. So what on this surface would be, I am Yaakov, who's taking whatever, that wouldn't work, let's say. For whatever reason, that wouldn't work. You know, so then that would be accomplishing a falsehood, really, because it would accomplish Esav getting the Bechor, which he doesn't deserve. Right? So it wouldn't do anything. So by saying those words there, it's the superficial, you know, the superficial meaning of the words is not really true. But the words are indicative of a deeper, of a real truth, which is this my Bechor. It's my Bechorah. Similarly here, is what he's saying is, oh, I want this piece. But what he's really saying is, this is assaulting Letzor HaYom. And it is assaulting the Tzor HaYom. The way in which it is different than the way he's saying it. But that's not being deceitful. That's just taking the property which is really true, that it's a Tzor HaYom, and making it register in the form of the action, in the way which the form of the action knows. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I'll say that. It's an interesting idea. I guess let's shoot for tomorrow to try to get this Tosus. Okay, Tosus of... where does Tosus go? Oh, Yudzayin of Beis. B'vad Shel Yarab.
The one I just read wasn't the one I wanted to do.
B'vad Shel Yarab is what I wanted to do. Yudzayin of Beis.
Are we doing
a Machlokes Rashi Tosus? That's a good question. I'm not sure. The problem is like Rashi is based upon the Tircha deal. I mean, it could be a Machlokes based upon how you learn the Yibud Be'ochlan. Like Tosus with Rashi learning, there's no technical sort of assaulting the stuff. It's just Tircha. Tosus, Tosus is saying that there is a real lesser. And then he has to learn the sugya, assuming there is a real lesser. So it could be that the machlokas lies outside of the sugya, you know?
But I want to define Tosus, how he's working the thing out, what he means. It's not so simple what he's saying.